Colts fans have some burning questions, and we've got answers to, I guess, either cool them off or stoke the flames further. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Thank you for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is Jake Arthur alongside the lovely Zach Hicks, and you know the two of us from HorseshoeHuddle.com. Today, we want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. So we put out the call on Twitter for you guys to shoot us some questions, and you guys delivered in a pretty big way. We'll go over our three favorite topics here, or at least the ones that were, you know, most widely asked for you guys. And it's going to be an interesting one for sure. First up, where do the Colts stand at the quarterback position immediately and in the long term? And, you know, what some of the moves they've made there in the recent years, how they've kind of put them in the position they're in now. Next is Bernard Raimann. Is he at home at left tackle? And last, who is more to blame for the Colts' current demise, Frank Reich or Chris Ballard? Because one guy's gone, but the issues still continue. First up, of course, we got a handful of questions about the quarterback position. It's just the most popular position in sports. Glover, Jeff Q, and Money Colts, just to name a few of you guys. So let's start with one I've been asked a couple times, but I don't think you and I probably put a whole lot of stock in it. That is Nick Foles. He's the one of the three quarterbacks we haven't seen yet this year. We know what it looks like with Matt Ryan, with Sam Ellinger. What about Nick Foles? He's got the experience of Matt Ryan, maybe a touch more mobility, obviously more experience than Sam Ellinger. He's a little more aggressive downfield from what we've seen, but he's a backup in this league for a reason.
Yeah, and again, the whole reason why he was here is because of his relationship with Frank Reich. And now with Frank Reich no longer in the picture, there's nobody really tied to starting him. And honestly, if you look at it, there's not really any good reason to put him out there. Matt Ryan is probably the better quarterback than him. And like, I know Matt Ryan has not been very good this year. He has not been at all what we expected, but he's still probably the better quarterback at this point in their careers. And that's why, you know, if the team wants to keep winning, you're going to keep putting Matt Ryan out there. Now, on the other hand, say they want to go younger. Say they want to see what they have in a younger player. Sam Ellinger is much younger and more athletic, I guess, is the only thing I could really say there. More athletic than Nick Foles. So if they wanted to go the younger route and just kind of go, like, see what we have route, that doesn't really go for Nick Foles either. So when you really don't have anyone in the room that's really, you know, pining for Nick Foles to start, plus there's not really a good reason for, because he's not – you know, the better option to win. He's not the young option to see what you have. There really isn't any reason why he would factor into the quarterback discussion. So, yeah, I mean, look, Nick Foles is there. I don't think there's not really a reason to cut him, because if there's an injury, I guess, you know, you still want to have him. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to start anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see a scenario where it happens, mostly, again, because they're going to keep rolling with Matt Ryan until they feel like they absolutely can't. And if they make a move, it's going to be to go young with Sam Ellinger. You know, if Ryan gets injured or what have you, I just don't see a real realistic path for them to go to Foles. Like, I just, maybe he'll become active on some game days. You know, he'll become the backup if one of these other guys gets thrown in there or something, but I just don't think he's going to become the plan. Now, I can't say I wouldn't be interested at some point to see, you know, I wouldn't hate it if they did it. It's like, just why not? Like, let's see what it looks like. Yeah. At the very least, he has a strong arm and is probably more aggressive downfield just from what we've seen in camp in the preseason. But I just don't think it's actually going to happen. So
I will say the biggest benefit, if they did want to start Nick Foles, is he's probably not that big of a drop-off from Matt Ryan. And if he gets hurt, there's no injury guarantees. You know, if Matt Ryan gets hurt in these last five games, I believe the Colts are like owe him all of that contract. You know, they have a little bit of an out this offseason if they wanted to release him, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in this segment. But with Nick Foles, you know, he's not making that much money. So if you want kind of similar play for a guy who's not as risky to start for your overall future, throw Nick Foles out there. But that's really the only way I see it. And I really don't think they're going to go through the PR nightmare of benching Matt Ryan yet again after what happened the first time. And Matt Ryan even said he was frustrated. I know, again, who cares about feelings and stuff with this, but I really, really doubt they're going to go through the whole thing of benching Matt Ryan again, unless he suffers an injury here.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of moving on from that moot point, I would say, we got another question from Darren, which I think you and I were both pretty intrigued by. What set the Colts back further? Andrew Luck's sudden retirement in 2019, just a couple weeks before the season began, or the subsequent choices they've made at the position since then? Jacoby Brissett doesn't count in this because he was Luck's immediate backup. They had to do it. But Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, they've been taking older guys. Carson Wentz isn't necessarily older, but he was here because of his history with Frank Reich. I think that's an interesting question. So what's your thoughts on that? What set them back further?
They go hand in hand. They, you can't talk about one without the other, especially when it comes to mistakes and issues and kind of where we are today as a franchise. But, obviously none of this would happen without the Andrew Luck retirement. So that obviously set them back a little bit more. But I really think the thing that really sunk this whole build was broken with that Carson Wentz miss. It's just when that Carson Wentz miss happened, giving up that first, committing to, again, not an old quarterback, but an older quarterback, thinking he's going to be your franchise guy. And then it being such a disaster that you're moving on after one season and not getting great return on investment whatsoever. You don't get playoffs, you lose draft capital. And they lost draft capital. Again, they had Carson Wentz. They decided not to go quarterback in that draft. They could have moved up for a guy like Justin Fields. We could do this shoulda, coulda, woulda stuff all the time, but it took them out of a young quarterback that year and the next year because they didn't have a first round pick the next year. And obviously that was a weak quarterback class, but I digress. I think the Carson Wentz trade was definitely the biggest blunder within all of this here, but it all starts and ends with that Andrew Luck retirement. This whole regime and this whole build kind of broke down the second that retirement happened, and they were kind of just trying to tread water ever since. And eventually they drowned, and that's what we're at right now. They couldn't tread water this season with yet another veteran quarterback, and they drowned. It all goes back to the Andrew Luck retirement. I mean, that you can't have these other things without that retirement.
Yeah, that was enormous. I mean, that's obviously the biggest thing, because I feel pretty comfortable saying the Colts would be flirting with the Super Bowl each season with a guy like Andrew Luck. Like, they may have even been in one by now in these last few years. So that was huge. The Carson Wentz one specifically, especially because of what they had to give up, and they missed out on such a talented team that year, basically. Those two were definitely the biggest hits. And, let's say Luck retires before the draft that year. It was not a good year for the draft. The Colts had the 26th pick. The next quarterback taken after that pick was Drew Lock in the second round. That was your Kyler Murray went number one, and then like Daniel Jones was in the top 10 as well. So it was not a good quarterback draft that year. So it's not like, okay, we know Luck's retiring, we're going to go get our guy this year, because that probably wouldn't have worked out either. So the whole thing is just, they've kind of tumbled into a little assortment of issues throughout that. But then the biggest question now facing them, what do they do with Matt Ryan this offseason? He's still under contract for another year. Do they roll with him, or do they cut ties and go for their young guy? I know what we both think.
You got to just eat the dead cap and get that money back. I mean, I think I saw on Spotrac, and again, Spotrac's a little hit or miss if they're how accurate they are, but I believe it's like a $17 million dead cap if they release him this offseason. But they get $18 million in cap relief because his total cap next year is going to be for $35 million. Yes, that's a ton of dead cap that you just don't want. But to bring that money back, you can re-sign some guys, maybe build up the rest of the roster for a rookie quarterback. I think that's the move you got to make, because Matt Ryan is just not the guy for this franchise. I don't even know if he has another year left in the league. So we'll have to see what happens if he ends up hanging it up after the season. But yeah, I think either way, I don't really see any way for Matt Ryan to be on this team next year with that $35 million cap hit. Like, it's better just to eat that dead cap than have him kind of take up that kind of space, because that's a ton of money for a guy who's just not getting it done and probably not your starter next year.
Yeah, totally agree. And I was asked about that before the game yesterday, and someone brought up a really good point that so he could obviously retire, which would be in the best interest because none of that money for next year is owed. But he's obviously, if he wants to keep playing, he's going to want to go to a contender, but no contender is probably going to want him as their guy. So no. The Colts are in a kind of an advantageous spot there. But yeah, I agree. I think they've got to cut ties because he's not going to look better physically. Like, and we've seen what it looks like right now. And unless you can absolutely guarantee a Hall of Fame performance from your offensive line every week, you're probably not getting very far. So yeah, again, the $35 million cap hit, that could be moved around in a ton of different areas. So that's definitely what I would do. I'm definitely in the boat of pool your assets together and look for someone in the draft. Like, I think that's what they absolutely have to do. Their next quarterback, or the quarterback who they plan to be their future guy, can't have been on another NFL team before. It's time to draft someone.
Yes, agree.
Yep. So with that said, we're now going to tell you about our sponsor, Turo. They are the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you could book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event like a birthday or holiday. Find an affordable economy car if you're on a budget and just need to get from point A to point B. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com.
Today's episode is also sponsored by Audible, who is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you guys are going to love. Find Block Forever now wherever you get your podcasts. Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. Khalil takes the conversation about football to the next level. He gives football fans an insider's look at the game through the eyes of the greatest players and personalities of all time. You'll hear Christian McCaffrey talk about his love-hate relationship with fantasy football, and Juju Smith-Schuster give his most honest opinions on other players and positions around the league. Catch the full Block Forever series, available wherever you get your podcast. Available everywhere now. Audible. Get in the game. So jumping into our next set of questions here, you know, we did get quite a few questions about Bernard Raimann, the rookie left tackle. You know, again, 25-year-old rookie, barely played left tackle in college. And we knew this was going to be a bit of a struggle for him. You know, we knew that he was a raw player coming in and it wasn't going to look pretty. And our boy, Matt Memminger, Stats Matt, who's in our comments on all of the live streams that we do, he asked, you know, is left tackle Bernard Raimann's home? You know, can he be that left tackle going forward? And I think through a couple of starts, I'm scared. I'm a little bit scared. Yes, he's super raw. Yes, I still believe in the physical gifts. Yes, I do think that he can get better and maybe even become a Garrett Bowles type guy with some more development and the proper coaching. But I do think there are a lot of issues that we've seen so far this season where I don't know how easy it's going to be to clean this stuff up, because, you know, the biggest one right now that we can see every single week is that anchor. You know, anytime that he's facing any kind of power, any kind of bull rush, it just doesn't look pretty right now. And you know, he probably had his best game in the NFL this past, you know, on Monday night, whenever you guys listened, so a couple days ago. He probably had his best game against a really good pass rusher in Alex Highsmith Jr. But we still saw on that final drive when the stakes mattered the most, Highsmith beat him for a strip sack fumble, beat him for pressure on the fourth down play. You know, there were a couple moments on that fourth final drive in the fourth quarter where you needed your left tackle to lock it down. He just couldn't get it done. Given, again, he is a rookie. I'm not burying him. But I think we need to see more before we can say that he's a left tackle of the future, because so far, I think there's a lot of work that's needed. And as of right now, I wouldn't be comfortable going into next season just giving him that left tackle job.
Totally agree. And something I think we obviously know has to be avoided is just crowning guys the starters, you know, guys you're not sure about, crowning them as starters without adequate competition like we saw entering this season with Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter. That being said, I'd be totally fine with Ryman entering training camp in the mix to be the guy. Like you said, I think there are gifts there. Teams know, though, if they're going to dial up something and get pressure. Brandon Graham did it late in the game with the Eagles, Alex Highsmith. So we've seen it 2 weeks in a row. And there was also the one, the other guy from the Eagles who, Hassan Reddick.
Josh Sweat. And Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat. I mean, the Eagles game was a rough one for Bernard Ryman. He just, we just all knew kind of going into that game that was a matchup where the Eagles were just going to feast on the Colts offensive line because Bernard Ryman, you know, again, there have been some good moments. He's had some flashes here and there, but he was not ready whatsoever for that talented Eagles defensive front. I mean, again, we're talking about Josh Sweat, who's one of the brightest up-and-comers in the league. Hassan Reddick is a multiple 10-sack guy. Robert Quinn played a little bit too, who, you know, is probably a Hall of Famer off the edge. They just don't – he just doesn't have the technique, the savvy – or the strength to kind of win any of those matchups there. But again, I'm not sinking him. I do think there is an avenue to success for him, but he needs a lot of work, like a lot of work. And unfortunately, you know, he's 25, he's going to be 26 going into next season. We're not talking about some 21-year-old who declared for the draft. We're not talking about some 20-year-old or something like that. We're talking about a guy who's, you know, around my age, you know, we're talking about a guy in his mid 20s here where, yes, he's still football young, but he's not young in age, you know, like he's young relatively, but not football age. So it is kind of tough when, how do you factor that into the future? Because they didn't spend a premium pick on him. Yes, they spent a third round pick on him, but you don't, you know, unless you spend that first round pick like Garrett Bowles a couple of years ago, your lifespan's typically not that long in the NFL. Like you need to produce right away, or you're really not going to get many chances. So I think this is a great audition, you know, at the end of the season that hopefully he continues to get all the starts the rest of the year. But you want to see him take more strides. And I do think, again, Monday night against the Steelers was probably his best game of the year. If he can keep building on that, you know, and look decent against Michael Parsons this next week, or at least adequate against Parsons, I'll feel a lot better. But I do think there are a lot of concerning areas right now in his game where, you know, you probably need to get a really good O-line coach in here next year. You need to get some really good off-season work for him because he needs to take a lot of positive steps forward before we say, okay, yeah, this is our franchise left tackle.
Yeah, I think them continuing to start him shows that they're going to put time and resources into helping him get to be the guy. But at the same time, if someone falls in their lap, whether it's a free agent or someone who comes upon them in the draft, I do think they would go ahead and make that move. He's not the type of player who you bypass elite talent for.
Right.
So there, I guess, is a two-part thing that I'll get into here. So we hear all the time, like coming into the draft, that a certain guy, maybe he'd be decent at tackle, but maybe doesn't have all the intangibles and would be really good inside at guard. Right guard is, I mean, Will Fries is decent and he's getting better, but is right guard an option for Ryman moving forward?
I'd be terrified with a guy with his anchor being at right guard. Because I don't think he has the place.
The lack of power is something we saw that was an enormous issue with Danny Pinter.
Right. And I think if, you know, Bernard Ryman is struggling to counter power from Josh Sweat, who, again, very, very powerful guy. Like, he is one of the more powerful defensive ends in the league, so I'm not trying to discount him. But, you know, if he's struggling with power from Josh Sweat, if he's struggling with power from Hassan Reddick, you know, what's he going to do against a Jeffrey Simmons? What's he going to do against a Chris Jones? What's he going to do against, you know, these type of defensive tackles where, you know, they are athletic, they're quick, they're fast, but they are immensely powerful. You know, Danico Autry would be salivating over having a, you know, the Danny Pinter type guy in there at right guard, or a Bernard Ryman type guy at right guard. So, no, I think they need to stay the course with him at tackle. I do think he's ultimately a tackle. Again, he has the athleticism, he has the footwork. It's just he doesn't have the technique and the savvy to overcome his poor anchor and overcome his lack of arm length right now. So I do think with a good off season, you know, and kind of building up that anchor, he can be a lot better. It's just, You know, the Colts right now, they need someone there. They need someone, you know, a legit option, a legit answer at left tackle. And right now, you know, he's probably not that. He's not that right now at the moment. So it is kind of tough and frustrating. But again, I'm not ready to bury him. I do think he's got plenty of time ahead of him. But yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit concerned.
Yeah, and you certainly know better than I on this because of the guys in the draft. But, you know, the Colts currently, as it sits, they'd be picking 14th. I think we're both pretty confident they'll be picking at least around 10th, you know, by the time the actual draft gets here. So you can find a really good left tackle around that range. But this specific draft class, is there – I mean, I know that kid from Penn State is going back to school apparently. Do you think in this specific draft class of who you expect to declare that there might be an option out there?
Yeah, there'll be at least two or three guys that probably go in that top 10 range. Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State is probably going to go that high. He's a younger guy, super athletic. I think Broderick Johnson, I believe his name is Broderick Johnson from Georgia, their left tackle, redshirt sophomore, big guy with just very nimble feet. He's like a dancing bear out there. Phenomenal player, and I think he might be the first tackle taken in this class. And then Peter Skronsky, I think it's Skronsky is how you say his last name. Forgive me, guys, if I'm mispronouncing these names. I haven't really done too much draft work yet. I haven't read up on the names and stuff like that yet, but Skronsky is another guy from Northwestern. He's a bit of a tweener because, again, the short arms, and I know Colts fans are going to be a little scarred from the short arms, so who knows if Colts fans will love that there. But there are a lot of good tackles in this class. Darnell Wright from Tennessee, even though he's more of just a right tackle, I'm a huge fan of his game as well. So there are a lot of options, I think, in this class, even with the Penn State dude going back to school. But, yeah, I don't – well, this is a conversation for another day. A left tackle when you still don't have a quarterback in the draft would still concern me a little bit. It'd be very Chris Ballard.
Well, is it Chris Ballard that's even going to be addressing that? We're actually going to get to that in our final segment, who kind of shares the most blame in this. But lastly, today's show is also brought to you by our friends at LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. And that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's incredibly easy to post your job on LinkedIn Jobs. After what feels like just a few minutes and a few clicks, add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Zach. So we love to get spicy here. There's no one spicier than our dear friend Felipe Costa, who on Twitter posed this one to us. Who is more to blame for the current Colts situation? Is it Frank Reich or Chris Ballard? Now, obviously, one of those men is still here. The other one is not. Frank Reich was fired a few weeks ago in favor for Jeff Saturday. Chris Ballard awkwardly sitting there alongside Jim Irsay and Jeff Saturday, a move he definitely wanted to make. Just looking all over his face.
From top to bottom, the whole organization was all for this move here. We all loved
everyone
it.
Everyone on board. So that's loaded. That's a loaded question, but is it more Frank Reich or Chris Ballard that you would put this all on?
Yeah, so the reason we put this for our third segment in this show is just we've already talked about this a lot. You know, we've had whole segments talking about Frank Reich's, you know, failures with the team and Chris Ballard's failures and stuff like that. So it kind of felt redundant to make this our top topic of the show. You guys can go back to some of our older episodes and really see where we really dove into these topics in detail. But, you know, if I had, you know, gun to my head, I'd probably say more on Chris Ballard, but I think both obviously need to go, you know. But I think at the end of the day, if you're looking at this team, bringing in a new coach, bringing in Jeff Saturday, making all these changes to who's calling the plays, making all these personnel changes at quarterback and stuff like that, at the end of the day, this has been the same team all year, you know, from day one to yesterday's game or 2 days ago game, wherever you guys are listening to this podcast. They have been the exact same team. You know, they've had some energetic wins. You know, they beat the Jaguars on a last second win. They beat the mighty Kansas City Chiefs. They had that energetic game after after Frank Reich's firing, and they won against the Las Vegas Raiders, but they just have struggled to finish games. They've been just overmanned and or overmatched and outmanned in a lot of games as well. And they just have not looked like a good football team. I think that goes down to roster construction, you know, both from a leadership standpoint within the locker room, a leadership standpoint from the front office, from a talent evaluation standpoint, because again, we've looked at these issues for years where the Colts pass rush has been a major concern for a while. And we can't just, I guess we can't sit here and say honestly that Chris Ballard hasn't tried to address it. You know, he spent a first round pick on Kwity Paye, traded a first round pick for DeForest Buckner, spent numerous second round picks on Tyquan Lewis, Kamoko Ture, Ben Banigou, and traded for Yannick Ngakoue. But the result has always been the same. You know, the pass rush has not been there. The offensive line was supposed to be, you know, the beacon of hope for this team this year. And it's fallen apart because of two poor decisions to bring in, you know, to have Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter start. The quarterback moves have been just major misses the last 2 years. And yes, you can throw all that at Frank Reich if you want, but Chris Ballard still signed off on those moves and made them. So, I do think Chris Ballard is a little bit more to blame. And I think it's been evident that even since this, the coaching change, the head coaching change and you know, moving around some of the staff, the Colts are the same exact team. You know, they're a 4-7-1 team, probably closer to 4-12-1 at the end of the season, or whatever, 4-11-1, whatever the 17th game. I think it's 4-12-1 is what they could be if they lost out. They're closer to being that than they are a playoff team, is what I'm trying to say here. So, yeah, this team is in a bad place. I think they have a lot of bad contracts all of a sudden. They have a lot of talent that's not performing up to par. And overall, again, they're just a bad team. And I think it's from that roster construction. It's from, you know, the not taking chances in the draft at quarterbacks to missing on the veterans guys that they brought in. And then not supplanting, you know, the young talent on this roster with quality free agents and kind of ignoring free agency altogether. I think there's a lot of issues we can look at with Chris Ballard and also say, you know, he's done a decent job of building up this roster. It's a build that fell apart. You know, it's a build that just didn't work. And that obviously goes to one of our first segment questions about Andrew Luck's retirement and stuff like that. But it's a roster build that just did not work. Frank Reich and Chris Ballard both had a hand in that. But yeah, I'd probably point the finger a little bit more at Chris Ballard.
I agree. I don't think anyone's blameless. And, you know, the issues with Frank Reich were pretty evident as well. Like, when a team routinely comes unprepared to play, makes predictable mistakes, and you just keep seeing the same issues over and over and over that seem correctable, that's an indictment on coaching. And, I mean, a lot of times things got stale. And you just kind of have to work with the roster you're given. Like, you can't just fit square pegs in round holes and such. Now, with that said, you know, with Ballard, there's been a few pretty big things that I've looked at. So, at his introductory press conference, he said it would never be about one guy, meaning Andrew Luck, which, of course. But we've seen the quarterback position in flux, like, his entire tenure. So, with that being said, that roster should be able to withstand not having an elite quarterback. And it hasn't. They've been more mediocre than they've been anything else. They made the playoffs with Phillip Rivers and with that 1 year with Andrew Luck. Otherwise, they've been a disaster or just a totally bland team. So that mission did not, you know, that was not successful. Every year, it seems like there's a couple areas that are glaring needs. And you and I have given the benefit of the doubt, like, maybe this can work here. You know, the offensive line this year, there's been quarterback issues, depth issues in certain areas, and we've gotten really reassuring answers when you know, he's asked about it, and it doesn't wind up working. Like, the issues that everyone says are going to be issues come true. They wind up biting them in the butt, and, you know, we're left saying, well, coulda, woulda, shoulda. And then last, you know, we know his philosophy on certain players. He wants to build from the inside out. He wants pass rush, like 8 pass rushers who can get to the quarterback. The offensive line should always be ironclad. Those are areas, you know, if that's the case and that's what you want to do every year, why are those, you know, I mean, the offensive line has been good for most of his tenure. I will say that. But there's really never been a consistent pass rush. You know, part of the positive part of the pass rush is when you got an established guy like DeForest Buckner, who you already knew who he was as an NFL player. Ngakoue has provided some of that this year, but otherwise the young guys largely haven't. So whether that's just, you kind of talked about it, just a miss in talent evaluation or whatever, I don't know. But the areas you want to knock out of the park, you really haven't been able to, which, right. I mean, that's obviously not good. That's a red mark on the record there. So not to say he's not a good talent evaluator at all, because like, I love a lot of the moves he's made in the draft, and a lot of these mid to late round guys are still with the team. So I don't think that part of it's an issue, but I guess it's just the whole philosophy on how to build a team, because we've seen teams like the Eagles, they've been able to kind of rebuild things twice since Ballard's been around. A team like the Rams got really good really fast. Now they're bad all of a sudden, but like, it's possible to get really good and then just worry about rebuilding later. Like, if you just set yourself up to be adequate for 10 years or whatever, that's where you're going to stop, is adequate. You're not going to reach the next level. So at some point you got to swing and take some chances, and they just haven't really done that. And that's kind of how they went from treading water to now they're just bad.
To drowning. That's the phrase there with it. They are drowned. They were treading water, and now they finally drowned. They ran out of energy and they drowned. But yeah, I just think, you know, this would be what, 6 years with Chris Ballard, right? I think this is his sixth year with the Colts.
2018 or 2017 was his first year.
Yeah. So I just think it's time. Yeah. I just think it's time, man. I think we've seen enough. And look, you got there was a grace period where, after the Andrew Luck retirement, there was a grace period where it's not that you had to make the Super Bowl within 2 years after that, but like, there had to be some kind of direction with this team since then. You know, this has been 3 years now since Andrew Luck's retirement, and we have not seen any positive signs of a direction that this franchise is going in. We've seen them, again, treading water until they drowned. And now we're probably at the worst point of the franchise, in as bad a place now as it was back in 2017 when he took over. I'm not saying that this roster is like this roster is much more talented than that 2017 team, but they have a lot of bad contracts. They have a quarterback that definitely is over the hill, and they're going to have to pay a lot to next season that they're stuck with. And a lot of other just bad things with this roster. So I do think that this roster is in a bad place. This team has no direction, and a lot of that falls on the general manager.
Yep. Without a doubt. Well, I think that's all I've got on that one. I mean, again, like you said, we've talked about that one ad nauseum, but it's interesting. You know, we're a few weeks now into the Jeff Saturday era, and we've seen a lot of the same issues creep up. We had that fast start against the Raiders, looked, you know, should have beat the Eagles, but now they are just the same old blah team that we saw through a lot of the early season.
Yep. Same exact team. Yeah. Same exact team. But I think that's all we have for today. You know,
yeah.
I think that's all
we got. That is it for us. Hang with us throughout the week as we bring you the up-to-date scoop on the Colts and what to expect next in this big Sunday night matchup against the Dallas Cowboys this week. That's right. Your Colts are about to be on national TV once again, folks.
Oh, they got national TV in two of their next three games, guys. So we get to see this team on prime time quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Again, on the road, I think, in both games. But still, make sure you guys are following us here on Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL on Twitter, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also, subscribe to the Locked On Colts on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd also love your guys' ratings and reviews, but only if they're nice. No other ratings or reviews besides the nice ones. And thank you guys for making us your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys tomorrow.